Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is the text from the Holy Gospel, as Jess has just read for us. And our theme this morning, God so loved you. Please be seated. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, it is my fervent prayer that none of you have ever heard this sound. If you have heard that sound, then you know what that is. Matter of fact, there was one about 7 or 8 feet to my right side as I was walking through the desert in Fort Huachuca, Arizona. Your heart leaves your chest and ends up here in your throat. You have no idea what to do, except you must stop and take a breath, relax, and run the other way as fast as you can. And that's why I'm still standing here today, thanks be to God. It was a sound that I never want to hear again in real life, and I pray that you'll never hear that sound. As that rattle is making that loud noise, there's also the hissing. You know what it is, and you know that that snake is about to strike, injecting its deadly venom into your body. So this morning we hear Jesus speaking to Nicodemus and reminding Nicodemus what occurred to the Israelites as they journeyed through the wilderness on their way to the promised land. But the Israelites were disobedient. And because of their disobedience, God, who is a holy and just God, must punish sin. He must punish disobedience. So he sends fiery snakes into the camp. And this fiery venom, as these snakes would strike these disobedient Israelites, would course through their veins and they would die. Yet there are some who repented. And those who repented asked Moses. They asked Moses that if the Lord would have mercy, they would continue in their repentance and they would be obedient to his word. So God told Moses to make a brass snake, attach it to a pole, and lift it up over the camp. And whenever anyone who was bitten would look to this brass snake, they would be saved. They would not die. Dear ones, you have one that you can now look to. You don't look to a snake. No, we look to the one who was nailed to a cross as you look to the font, and he was lifted up for the whole world to see, naked and bleeding. And as you look to this man, you now understand the theme of our sermon this morning. God so loved you. God so loved you that he sent his only begotten Son to be lifted up for you in your place. You see, mankind, you and I, we are just like the children of Israel. We are in danger all day long. We aren't plagued by snakes. No, we are plagued by something even more deadly: our sin. And it's because of our sin that will surely cause us to die. Many will die in their trespasses and sin. And those who are unrepentant, they, as the disobedient Israelites did, they will die the second death. Yet God is a merciful God. He is a just God for sure, but he is full of mercy and grace and love. And there in Genesis 3:15, he gives us a promise. It's a promise of a righteous one who would come and be lifted up for us, who would crush the head of the serpent, but he himself would also be wounded. The Father sent his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus came into the middle of our world. We could say that Jesus himself jumped into the snake pit, and as he was bitten and bitten over and over again. He took all the venom of our sin. He took all the venom of our death into His body. By His stripes we are now healed. Because of His stripes, He went to the cross. Because of our sin, He went to the cross. And He paid the ultimate price for you and for me, that we will not die in our trespasses and sin. As we look to the cross, and as we look to our Savior who is lifted up for us, we are reminded of John 3:16. The children remember it so well. You remember it so well. John 3:16, though, captures perfectly God's plan of salvation for each and every one of you. He so loved you that He sent His Son to be lifted up for you. And because Jesus is willing to be lifted up for you, He gives to you eternal life. He took our venom, He took the venom of our sin to the cross, and in exchange He gave to you that white robe of righteousness. That robe that was received last Sunday by two little children. And I thank God that they're here this morning. And I thank their parents that they are here this morning. And as you were brought to this font, you were also robed in that white robe of righteousness. Thanks be to Jesus that He was willing to be lifted up for you. Yes, it is God who gives eternal life. As we heard in our epistle lesson, that eternal life is something that you and I cannot work for. You and I could not do this. We could not go to the cross and live. We cannot look to other things in this life and expect it to be expected to receive eternal life. You see, this cross comes with an invitation. Just as in the Old Testament, God told Moses to lift up the brass serpent over the camp, and anyone who looked, that is an invitation. The Israelites weren't forced to look. They weren't made to look to the brass serpent. They were invited to look to the brass serpent. You and I, we are not forced to look to the cross. No, we are invited to look to the cross. And as you look to the cross, as you hear the invitation, and in faith you believe the invitation, and you do look to the cross, what do you see? You see that you have been saved from the fiery venom of certain eternal death. Likewise, Jesus promises that those who believe have everlasting life. Everlasting life. You know, that's so hard for us to comprehend. Our minds cannot wrap around the concept of living eternally. We know that if we are lucky, we'll make it to 90. If we're really fortunate, we may even make triple digits. But eternal life? But yet, dear ones, you certainly have eternal life. Eternal life is not in your future. Eternal life is right now. When you are baptized, eternal life. Each time you come here to the altar, receive the fruit of the tree, eternal life. Each time you hear the word preached in purity and truth, eternal life. God has constantly given you eternal life. This is the work of sanctification. This is what the Holy Spirit does. He leads you here to hear and to receive, for God is always, always giving, and He will always give until the time that He certainly will come for you. It is God who draws people to Jesus. It is Jesus who is the light, who is shining in the darkest hearts of this world. Yet we know that there are many people who resist the light. They rather live in the darkness, and the things that they do in darkness are actually unspeakable. They don't want the light shining on them because they enjoy living in the darkness. Yet, dear ones, they are still being drawn. The invitation is always being spoken. You see, you and I today, we are like bugs. Now, you probably didn't expect to hear your pastor call you a bug. But just as a bug on those warm summer nights, when you turn on your porch lamp, what happens? They all fly to the light. They fly to the warmth, the soothing warmth of the light. And there they congregate, and they will not leave until the light goes out. You and I are like this. We are being led by the Holy Spirit, just like a bug to the light. We're always being led to the light. And as we live in the light, we are basking in His love and in His forgiveness and in the warmth of His life. God did not send Jesus into the world to condemn the world. There are many today who have the gospel turned upside down. They want you to believe that Jesus is this cruel taskmaster who's going to come and judge you and send you to hell. No, He will do that, but only to the unbeliever. But for you and for me, His children, He tells us clearly that He came into the world not to condemn us, but to save us. And not only us, but the whole world. Jesus came to give each and every one of us that warm light of everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. You see, Jesus doesn't tell us that you're done for. Because you're a sinner, you can chalk it up. You're done. Just chalk it up. You're going to hell. No questions asked. He also didn't come and say, you're on your way to destruction, so let me give you a new list of rules, new list of laws that you must follow, and you must do this, and you must do it in this right order, and then just maybe you might save yourself. More laws from Jesus would mean more and more laws for lost and condemned sinners to break. And that would just be more and more condemnation. But the Father didn't send Jesus into this world to condemn the world, to condemn you with more and more demands. No, Jesus became flesh to fulfill law's demands. It is Jesus who took the poison. It is Jesus who took the demands of the law. And it is He who took the wages of sin. And He did this for you and for me. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is condemned already. Because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. Salvation, dear ones, as you've just heard, is not a future thing, but it is a present reality. You already have forgiveness and salvation right now. Even while you are still living in your sin and in this sinful world, God isn't saying to you, if you believe right now, I'll save you later. He doesn't say that. He saved you even before you had a chance to say even a word. He was willing to be nailed to a cross and to be lifted up and to proclaim to the world, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Because God so loved the world, there is still time, loved ones. There is still time for the condemned unbeliever to hear the truth of Jesus and to repent of their sins and to be saved. And sadly, there is also time for the saved believer to turn his or her back on Jesus and to walk back into the darkness of this evil world and to live a life of unrepentant sin that will certainly mean condemnation. Yet, dearly beloved, for each of you today and always, rejoice. I say again, rejoice, For salvation is already yours, and it is for the sake of your Savior, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a promise. And God will always keep His promise. That's the good news. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. And that is what gospel truly means. He has done the work, and He gives to you freely. That is gospel. And that's not all. We know that Jesus died and that He went into the tomb. But the tomb is empty. The tomb will always be empty, because on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead, proving that His sacrifice was accepted by the Father. It is Jesus who has defeated sin, death, and the power of the evil one for you. Christ has risen from the dead. He is risen, and He is risen indeed. We will proclaim those words loudly and clearly in just a couple of weeks. But until then, remember that this is a guarantee. Jesus has been risen. He has been risen from the dead. And you, even though we will die, one day we too will be resurrected. Jesus will keep His promise. God so loved the world, God so loved you, that He announces to each and every one of you right now the good news of Jesus Christ, that all of your sin has been paid for. You are no longer under the power of the evil one. You are His dear child by the power of the water and the word. And He keeps you in this one true faith by the power of body and blood from the fruit of the cross, which He freely gives. And dear ones, He proclaims to you the forgiveness, complete forgiveness of all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.